Hi, this is Eric Greb, Managing Editor of Neurology Reviews. At the 2014 International Stroke Conference, Dr. David Huang, Assistant Professor of Neurology at Yale School of Medicine in New Haven, Connecticut, presented the results of the PITCH study, which suggested that physicians and nurses provide more accurate predictions of 3-month outcome for patients with intracerebral hemorrhage than ICH or FUNC scores do. Dr. Huang joins me to discuss his study. What might explain your finding that physicians and nurses were better able to predict 3-month outcomes than ICH or FUNC scores were?
Eric, thanks so much for this opportunity to chat. To address your question, I didn't mention this during the brief platform presentation at the conference, but for each prediction that we had a physician or nurse submit for a hemorrhage patient, we actually asked respondents to list factors influencing their 3-month outcome prediction in a free response section of the prediction form they were given. And at this point, we're actually still in the process of analyzing this data. Our hope is that when that analysis is done, we'll have somewhat of a greater insight into how physicians and nurses made their predictions, which will then help answer the question you're asking about why the predictions were better than the ICH and FUNC score output. But I think, broadly speaking, one can say that all the different outcome prediction tools that have been developed over the past 10 years for ICH patients, including the ICH and FUNC scores, but many others that are in the literature, all of them incorporate in their final formulas collection, a handful of variables that are assigned a certain number of points, which then add up, and then the point output ends up correlating to percentages of a probability for any particular outcome of interest, you know, a modified Rankin scale of 1, 2, 3, et cetera, at 3 months or whatever the time point might be. And I think, broadly speaking, one can assume that the physicians and nurses, their subjective predictions, that while they're aware of the handful of variables that go into each of these outcome prediction tools, they have the whole gamut of clinical information relevant to that patient available to them that the outcome prediction tools don't take into account. So I think one has to assume that having that entire clinical picture of what is going on with the patient, one can speculate, not just only knowing about the patient's status and their comorbidities, but also their family status, their social economic status, these things that all of us agree likely have some influence on 3-month outcome, that these are available for clinicians in a way that the outcome prediction tools, the scales, they simply don't take into account.
Now, about 64% of patients in your study had a Glasgow Coma Scale score between 13 and 15. Was your study population representative of the general population of patients with ICH?
Eric, that's a great question. When we were initially putting together the data, and we saw that the majority of patients had relatively mild clinical presentations, it definitely made us raise an eyebrow about the data set initially. I think that fact is actually tempered when you take a look at the distribution of outcomes at 3 months for these patients. It turned out that despite the fact that 64% of patients were relatively well appearing at the time of admission, that when you actually take a look at 3-month outcomes, 35% of patients were dead or had a modified Rankin scale of 6 at 3 months. That figure, that 35% figure, is absolutely consistent with previous published cohorts of ICH and outcome distributions. We all know that ICH is it's a devastating disease, and the outcome distribution for our cohort was no different than those published in the past. So it's interesting, looking initially at just our admission data and how patients looked when they came in, one might wonder if we had a relatively well-appearing cohort. And that would be reasonable looking at that data, but taken in concert with the idea that a third of the patients that we had predictions submitted for were dead at 3 months, we feel that the population was representative of the general ICH population.
So the physicians and nurses who predicted patients' outcomes were not blinded. They were part of the patient's treatment teams. Could this arrangement have biased the study results in the clinician's favor?
The short answer to that is absolutely. I'm sure it did. This question came up, actually. This is one of the questions that was asked during the plenary session. And I think the answer is yes, but it's yes by design, meaning that what we were hoping for was to make this study as relevant as possible to clinical practice. And if you think about the typical situation, what's relevant to clinical practice is not blinded predictions of patient outcomes, but it actually goes back to that first question you're asking. It's how do physicians and nurses do making predictions when they have the entire range of clinical information available to the patient early on? For example, we picked the first 24 hours, but it's these early predictions of how patients are going to do long term that are not blinded that end up driving a lot of how healthcare is delivered to these patients. You can think about the patient who arrives in the ED with a 70-80 cc hemorrhage with a lot of intraventricular extension, and a physician is tasked with the idea of whether or not they want to call a neurosurgeon to help place an extraventricular drain in that patient, or whether or not it would be a fetal procedure. And these are the types of decisions I think that folks are, that they run into in clinical practice all the time. And these predictions happen early on during the patient's admissions. And the physicians and nurses, you have the entire range of clinical information available to you. So that's why we wanted to test. It's that type of prediction, that prediction from the clinical team with who's fully aware of all the clinical information, how the accuracy of that prediction measures up to these formal scales, the ICH score, Funk score. That's the comparison that we felt like would be most relevant to clinical practice.
So do you think the results of your study suggest that we need better clinical scales for predicting outcomes for patients with ICH?
I think a lot of work has been put into the development of clinical scales over the past 10 years. The ICH and the Funk score are two well-thought-out, well-developed scales that receive a lot of attention. There are numerous scales that have been developed across the world for outcome prediction. I think it's important to emphasize that these outcome scales, they definitely have their use in clinical practice. If you look at, for example, the original ICH score paper and the subsequent papers by Hemphill's group, they publish distributions of the percentages. For example, for each possible modified Rankin scale outcomes for in any ICH cohort, say achieving a modified Rankin scale of 1, they list percentages for patients who have an ICH score of 1 reaching that modified Rankin scale, an ICH score of 2, 3, 4, etc. And all these outcome scale prediction papers show a logical distribution that, you know, as your ICH score, or in the case of the Funk score, as your ICH score goes up, or in the case of the Funk score, as it goes down, the poor outcome, whether it's mortality or functional outcome, it goes up. And that was no different in our cohort. In other words, if you take out the predictions out of our cohort and just look at the ICH and Funk score distributions, we essentially validated the ICH and Funk scores in a separate cohort. For situations where you're looking for a range of probabilities, for example, that patient who has an ICH score of 3, what's the probability that you'll have a modified Rankin scale of 1, 2, 3, 4? If you're trying to figure out this range of probabilities, I think these outcome prediction tools are very helpful. For our particular study, we were asking both the tools and the physicians and nurses to perform a very difficult task, which is to predict the exact modified Rankin scale at 3 months. I think that it's for that particular task that the physician nurses, their subjective predictions perform better. And so I think it's important in clinical practice to understand the outcome scales, to know what's available, and if helpful for the family and for the treatment team, to use them for the range of probabilities that their output generates, but to also understand that they're not the end-all and be-all. That's certainly other information that's available to physicians and nurses that may not be incorporated in the scales are certainly important and should be factored into, you know, the clinical team's final recommendation to families.
Thank you very much for your time, Dr. Huang.
No problem.
This is Eric Greb, Managing Editor of Neurology Reviews. Thank you for listening.